From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 24th day of January 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. And a bit later in the program, the folks at the Andersons facility in Everly, Iowa, that's Ben Pruess and company, will join us to take a look at the cash grain market. Along the way, we'll hear what Senator Durbin from Illinois, a Democrat, has to say about U.S. EPA's proposed rule changes to the RFS. He's not happy with the agency. And then a bit later in the program, we'll take a look at the weather forecast. That'll happen with Ed Kieser, agricultural meteorologist, right here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
Let's check now the numbers as they finished up in Chicago at the CME Group for this Friday afternoon. Nearby March wheat at $5.65 and a quarter, down 4 3/4 of a cent for the day. July at $5.77 for the soft red, 5 1/4 lower. March corn futures at $4.29 1/2, up a half. The May at $4.36, the settlement price up 3/4. And July corn at $4.41 1/2, up 1/4 cent. September down 1/4 at $4.44 1/4. And December corn of next year, that's the new crop, $4.49 1/2. Up 1/4, March futures there at $4.59 1/4 for 2015, up 1/4 cent. March soybeans, $12.84 3/4, up 7 3/4. May futures, $12.70, up 7 1/2 cents. And July at $12.57 3/4, up 7 1/2. The August, $12.18 3/4, 6 cents higher. And the November beans at $11.09 1/4, up 1/2. Bean meal futures at $4.25.70, up $7. Bean oil at $37.54, finished down 30 cents, or rather 32 cents. Live cattle futures from the CME Group, April contract, $1.40.10. That's 50 cents lower for the day. The lead option February at $1.43.40 in the lives, 52 cents and a half lower at $1.43.40. January feeders, $170.70, up 32 1/2, but the March down a buck at $168.87 1/2. And lean hogs in the February contract, $86.37 1/2, up 80 cents. April futures, $94.02 1/2, $1.07 1/2 higher for the afternoon. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day trading the March at $96.85, down 47 cents. The RBOB, or wholesale price of gasoline, now at $2.66 4/10. That's 2/10 cent higher. Ethanol futures, $1.77 4/10, down 3 1/10 cent. And the spread between the two is 89 cents wide. That's 3 3/10 cent wider than it was yesterday. Anything that's in the positive is always good for ethanol trade. Natural gas at $5.29, up 4 7/10 cent. And diesel fuel at $3.14 6/10 cent, 6 9/10 cent higher. Natural gas, by the way, is up 47 9/10 cent. Again, it's trading at $5.20. Gold futures at $1,264.30 an ounce, up $2. And the U.S. dollar at 80.46. That's up 0.02 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Mostly cloudy skies. A high near 24 degrees for the afternoon. Wind chill values between 1 and 6. It'll be breezy with a south-southwest wind at 26 to 28 miles an hour moving along, gusting all the way to 44 this afternoon. Snow likely with areas of blowing snow before midnight, then snow with areas of blowing snow between midnight and 3 a.m. Snow likely with areas of blowing snow after 3 a.m. and a low of 20 tonight. Breezy south-southwest winds at 21 to 25 miles an hour. Chance of snowfall set at 90%. New snow accumulation 1 to 2 inches possible. Saturday cloudy through mid-morning. The gradual clearing. Temperatures falling to about 9 degrees by 4 in the afternoon. Tomorrow wind chills between 10 below and 0. It'll be blustery, cold, west-northwest winds at 20 to 24 miles an hour. They'll gust all the way to 27 in the afternoon. A Sunday, a 50% chance of snowfall. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the hour. We'll talk about South America. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is the 24th day of January 2014.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Well, I forgot this afternoon that Mike Zuzulo was out of the office and that Kurt Kimmel earlier in the week had agreed quite nicely that he would fill in for him for the day. So we gave Kurt a call, and he's available for us this afternoon. Kurt, thanks so much. I do appreciate you filling in today.
Well, you're quite welcome. It's awful big shoes to fill, but we'll give it an attempt here.
Well, let's go through the process. So we finished this week up, and there's some interesting things happening. Soybeans had a rough week. But most of the losses on the weekly came in just one day. So we were down 31 and three quarters, and I think we lost that much in one day of this week.
Monday was the big down. Well, beginning of the week was a big down day in the bean complex. The bean market was a little overbought. Sales kind of slowed. Ideas, we'd see some cancellations from the Southern Asia to switch to the Southern Hemisphere, for say. Also, too, they put a little bit more moisture in the forecast for some of those drier regions in the Southern Hemisphere, and that sort of collapsed the markets at the beginning of the week. But we were able to dig out of the hole here as we went through the last 3 days of trade with a little bit more ideas that business is not that bad. This morning we did see some cancellations of 300,000 tons of the unknown category, but not with the big Asian name on it just yet. So that coupled with next batch of yields coming in on harvest activities not quite up expectation gave the market enough confidence to kind of buy the lower trade earlier this morning and support and push prices higher as we went into the close there, Todd.
What are your expectations for next week?
Well, I think we're going to kind of follow through here. The market has a chance to sort of go below the previous lows here. Just couldn't push down in through there. We found some buyers, a lack of sellers. If you look at a price chart, for the most part, the beans and even the corn were in a sideways trading pattern. I feel we're going to recover. We're going to recover enough to where guys like for it to go, but I think we're in a position here to see a little bit of a bounce here as we move into the first part of next week.
Are there any indications in the products that we have a problem that's facing us? I'm thinking, as I looked at, and I don't know that this means much, March bean oil finished the week with an outside down. Although it was just 20 cents lower on the week.
Well, a lot of spread activity more than anything. Meal continues to hang on there. The cold weather, meal exports are robust, for say. So I think we saw just more buy the meal, sell the oil type of spread. When you look at oil in general, we actually have fairly good supplies worldwide. Unless the energy market takes off here, we see some problems with some of these world vegetable oils. Oil is probably going to be the short end of the link on the spread here as they continue to buy the meal and sell the oil.
And corn was the bright spot on the weekly chart, I guess, if you can call a 5.5 cent gain from Friday to Friday a bright spot.
Well, any day it doesn't close lower is a good day, I guess. Corn charts, we continue to hold the support we found there right after the January crop report. The market's virtually been sideways since November. It's been kind of a hedger's dream, being short the board and watching the base and cash levels hang in there for guys that's had cash green to move. There's been some hot spot bids here over the last couple weeks to take advantage of it. One thing that's noticeable in the trade, the guys that trade 500,000 contracts at a time have been selling the 420 puts and calls both earlier here. Looking for a sideways market. Then they actually came in and did, that was in the February up front here, basis off the March corn futures contract. But they've also came in and sold the 450 corn calls and sold the 420 puts in the May contract also. Now, what's even more encouraging is we saw some commercials come in and sell the December 450 corn put options to collect some premium there. So there's some indications that maybe this market could chug sideways here for a little while yet.
And do you believe it?
I believe so. I believe that there's a lot of corn out there to be sold yet, but I believe there's a lot of demand underneath the market that is going to take advantage of price breaks. Top priority is continues to be the Western Belt. You get Des Moines on west, it's terribly dry. And, you know, nothing that a good rain can't take care of, but the problem is, as you move on west, there's more and more guys, you know, telling us that they're not going to be able to have, the irrigation systems run. They're zero water. Most of that water's going to be conserved for other uses. So corn acres are going to be down sharply in that Western Belt. And even here in the east, talking to some good seed corn dealers, they're seeing that trend of corn sales backing off and bean seed sales picking up.
On the west, speaking of such things, they have some awfully big feedlots there. And, man, feeder cattle went to 170 bucks this week. Or live cattle did, I mean. Oh, actually, feeder cattle. What am I thinking?
The feeders, yeah. The fats, there's some talk, there's some trade at 47, 48. There's some cases of 150. The cash is ahead of where the board is at the present time. And through here, it's just been a rocket ship take off. There's been a lot of buying cattle, selling hogs in the spread. We saw a little bit of reversal on that. The fear is, though, we're going to lose our demand base as we move higher in through here. We expect the market to open maybe a little lower next week. Cattle on feed report showed on feed 95% versus average guess at 94. Placements were 101 versus 98. And marketings were 99 versus a trade estimate of 102. So that kind of suggests that we've got a little bit more in the feedlot, and they're going to probably hang on to them and put a little bit more tonnage on.
Anything on the hog markets?
More of the virus talk is going mm-hmm. around. There's ideas we could lose 2 to 3% of the pig crop here. We've seen a case reported in Canada. Hopefully this will run its course here fairly quickly, and we don't see a whole lot of death loss, because overall, last thing we need is see a big drawdown in overall meat supply, because we're going to need a big livestock base to continue to garble up corn.
Hey, thanks so much.
All right, take care.
Mm-hmm. That's Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, filling in for Mike Zuzulo this afternoon. We thank Kurt for doing that. If you'd like to hear him again, you can always do that on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming from the opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between. It's all at willag.org.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
We're your Director of Agricultural Programming. Dave Dickey will be here shortly. He'll take us through all the agricultural news for the afternoon.
In agricultural news, the National Grain and Feed Association and North American Export Grain Association sent a joint statement yesterday requesting that Syngenta, a Swiss maker of agricultural products, halt sales of its biotechnology-enhanced AgriSure Viptera and AgriSure Duracade corn varieties until the Chinese government approves them for import. China last month rejected at least 545,000 metric tons of U.S. corn that contained the Viptera variety, better known as MIR-162, which has insect-resistant biotech traits. China's rejection of the strain has limited gains in corn future prices and raised concerns that the Asian nation's demand for U.S. corn may cool in coming months. The NAEGA, which represents exporters, and the NGFA, which represents grain elevators, feed ingredient manufacturers, and grain processors, said in their joint statement that it is not just current export sales at stake. The U.S. reputation for providing products that meet importers' standards is also on the line. A number of bird flu cases since the beginning of the year in China has experts watching closely as millions of people and poultry are on the move ahead of the Lunar New Year holiday. China has reported more than 50 H7N9 infections in 2014 after the strain jumped from birds to people for the first time last year. The virus remains hard to catch as most cases have been linked to contact with poultry, but scientists worry that it could change if it mutates into a form that allows it to spread easily among people. For those who track influenza, the holiday, which begins on January 31st, is always worrying because it comes during the winter months when flu typically rages. Add to that hundreds of millions of people, and often birds, crammed together on buses and other forms of transportation going home, and it's always a bit of a gamble. China estimates that 3.6 billion trips will be taken over the holiday season. The Food and Drug Administration says after 20 years, the nutrition facts label on the back of food packages is getting a makeover. Knowledge about nutrition has evolved since the early 1990s, and the FDA says the labels need to reflect that. Nutritionists and other health experts have their own wish list for label changes, including that the number of calories be more prominent, as well as adding sugar and percentages of whole wheat in the food, and more clarity on serving sizes. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Have you signed up yet? Have you thought about it yet, going on the John Deere trip? I sure do hope so. But I really need to know by the 9th day of February whether you're going to go or not. That's kind of our go-no-go date, depending on how many people happen to sign up. It's $500 a person. If you'd like to come along, we're certainly going to have fun visiting the Harvester Works or the Combine Plant in the Quad Cities. That's in the Moline area. And then over in Waterloo in Iowa, we'll take a look at the tractor plant. We'll have lunch at the headquarters and do the pavilion and the museum, all at John Deere. If you'd like to come, it's March 10, 11, and 12. All the information on our website at willag.org. Now up next, you know, this week a bipartisan group of United States senators sent a letter to the administrator of U.S. EPA in hopes of clarifying the agency's regulatory authority related to biofuels. I'll have more with the senior senator from Illinois. When Congress passed legislation in 2007 creating the Renewable Fuel Standard, that's law requiring biofuels to be used in the nation's energy supplies, it gave regulatory authority to the United States Environmental Protection Agency. A bipartisan group of senators, led in part by Illinois' Dick Durbin and Iowa's Chuck Grassley, now believe the agency has overstepped that regulatory intent. Durbin, a Democrat, says the letter was sent to remind U.S. EPA Administrator Gina McCarthy Congress did not intend her agency to propose rules related to demand for biofuels.
That's exactly what we wanted to achieve here. We had a meeting with Gina McCarthy several months ago. There were at least 20 senators, Democrats and Republicans, who met with her. And she said, you know, my hands are tied. I have to review this thing with regularity, and that's what led to this. Well, we said, you know, that wasn't the intent, and we want to make it clear that this program means an awful lot, not just in environmental terms, but in terms of employment and its impact on farmers across the Midwest.
U.S. EPA will take comments on the proposed RFS rule changes through January 28th. The changes would roll back biofuels mandates based on EPA's argument that there is not enough room in the nation's energy demand structure. Congress explicitly gave U.S. EPA authority to decrease mandates based on available supply. Senator Durbin wants EPA to leave the mandates alone and says Illinois has much at risk.
But we have a lot at stake here. We have 14 ethanol plants in the state of Illinois, 5 biodiesel plants. There are over 5,000 jobs involved in it, not to mention the impact it would have on our farmers.
Those wanting to comment on the proposed rules change can visit www.regulations.gov and look for the Renewable Fuel Standard Program headline.
Agricultural market reports on WILL are made possible with support from Busey. Small business is the next big business. So Busey offers solutions to fit growing business needs, from customizable lending options to succession planning. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Friday afternoon. Normally at this time we would talk with Ben Pruse at the Andersons facility in Everly, Iowa. He's not available. That might have to do something with the cold and the wind blowing, but that's all right, because in studio, actually, Jackie Vakes has arrived early for our Voices of Illinois Agriculture event, and Steve Freed is here as well. Jackie agreed to sit down with us just for a second to take up her thoughts on the marketplace. Thanks for doing that, Jackie. Looking forward to tonight, by the way.
You're welcome, Todd, and so am I.
Well, let's take up what your thought process here is on the corn market and what producers ought to be doing, whether they need to get themselves geared up to make additional sales, old or new crop.
Well, I definitely think that they need to be looking for all opportunities. We've seen some fairly good basis level on old crop and actually some halfway decent numbers on new crop. So, you know, as always, cash is a place that you want to go and look first. But if you cash doesn't offer you anything, we have what they call short-dated options now that you can use that actually represent the December contract. And, you know, we're headed into February. Could be a rough and tumble month because we've got the February crop report coming out, and that crop report, nobody knows for sure what's going to happen, but we certainly could see some changes demand-wise on that report, either to the good or the bad. Nobody seems to really know.
The agricultural supply and demand estimate.
Right.
So we look forward to that. It comes out each and every month. When you talk about short-dated options, can you give us a quick explanation of what those might be?
Certainly. They trade in four different months, March, May, July, and September. And they expire just like your regular March, May, July, and September. In other words, your March is going to expire the third week in February, May's April third week. And what they really are is they're an option that when you purchase it or you sell it, you are actually selling it or owning an option that that is being based on the December futures contract. We have the same thing in beans with the November futures contract. And so basically what you're doing is you're not paying for as much time. So you really have to trade off what you want to do. As an example, yesterday you could buy a May 450 put, December put in the short dated for about 15 cents. And then you could sit there and you could wait until the 25th of April. You're through the acreage report. You're through the crop insurance price determination period and into some of the South American situation. And, you know, you've got some comfort. The only thing that you're trading off is time because it does expire on April 25th. You go out and if you wanted to buy a 15-cent put out in December, you were paying 15 cents for a $4 put. So you could get 50 cents more coverage in a shorter time frame, but a much better position.
Thanks so much, Jackie. We do appreciate you sitting down quickly with us.
You're welcome.
Jackie Vakes is with Stuart Peterson, joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Friday afternoon. Back in 2 minutes, we'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast, South America in particular, with agricultural meteorologist Ed Kieser.
It's National Eggnog Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1809, Kit Carson was born, an American frontiersman. His last words when he died in 1868 were reportedly, "Wish I had time for just one more bowl of chili." 1826 marked an eggnog riot at West Point Military Academy. When informed that their Christmas eggnog would be alcohol-free, cadets in North Barrack No. 5 decided to make their own eggnog with alcohol. Of course, the party eventually got out of hand, and the artillery unit stationed at West Point had to quell the disturbance. In the aftermath, 6 cadets resigned, 19 were court-martialed, and many, including a young Jefferson Davis, were confined to quarters for more than a month. In 1914, John Muir died. Muir was a naturalist who was largely responsible for the establishment of the Yosemite National Park in California. Muir drew attention to the devastation of mountain meadows by sheep and cattle, leading to his role as father of the national park system. And in 2006, in the Chicago suburb of Villa Park, thieves stole a semi-tractor trailer filled with broccoli. It was valued at $50,000. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
Here are the weekly changes as they come to us from the CME Group in Chicago. March corn at $4.29.5 finished 5.5 cents higher this week. December corn at $4.59.25 up 0.5 cent. March soybeans at $12.84.75 down 31.75, and November's at $11.09.25 15.75 lower. The March bean meal at $425.70 down $8.80, and March bean oil at $37.54. It posted, by the way, an outside down week, 20 cents lower. March wheat futures at $5.65.25, and the soft red up a penny and 3/4. July unchanged at $5.77. April live cattle finished at $140.10. They were up 80 cents, but off from their high, $3.10 this week. March feeder cattle at $168.87.5 or 95 higher on the weekly trade. And April lean hogs at $94.02. Finished $2.12.5 higher. Now, here's meteorologist Ed Geezer with this week's South American weather forecast.
Rain did fall this week in key southern Argentina production areas, helping alleviate extremely dry conditions. Some rain also fell in dry portions of eastern Brazil. Focusing on Argentina first, important production areas of Buenos Aires, southern Cordoba, and La Pampa have generally been hot and dry during the past month, stressing reproductive crops. Showers and thunderstorms finally moved through the area Wednesday and again Thursday night into early Friday. Several locations picked up more than an inch and a few more than 2 inches. The heat wave also broke with a cold frontal passage on Thursday. Going forward, dry weather is expected this weekend into early next week. That will be accompanied by stress-free temperatures in the 70s and 80s. Starting in the middle of next week, temperatures will turn warmer again, but a prolonged period of excessively hot weather is not expected. Along with the warming comes an increased chance of needed showers and thunderstorms. Even with recent rainfall, moisture deficits in many southern Argentina locations are still 2 to 5 inches since the beginning of December. In Brazil, showers and thunderstorms fell this week in the dry areas of Goiás, Bahia, and Minas Gerais. That rain was important as showers will taper off after this weekend, and another prolonged period of dry weather starts next week and continues into at least early February. This part of Brazil produces about a quarter of the corn and soybean crop, so dryness in this area needs to be monitored. Rainfall deficits for the past month are 5 to 8 inches. As expected, it was a mostly dry week across South Brazil, Paraguay, and northern Argentina, and as expected, rain has just returned, and periodic showers and thunderstorms are in the forecast for the coming week. This area remains in the best shape for crop production in South America.
Our thanks to meteorologist Ed Keezer for his look at the South American weather. You can join him here each and every week on our programming. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media, from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.